fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
This is Part-Time Fanboy, and this is our 10th episode, by the way. We made it to 10. Can you believe
That's great.
Double digits.
Double digits. We are in the double 10, the magic number 10. So I am Christian. I'm here with Paul and Ian. Corey may be joining us a little bit later in the podcast, but we are here to talk about one thing and one thing only. The only thing to talk about on the weekend of May 5th. May 4th, The Avengers, the movie, which as of we're talking right now, Sunday afternoon, has broken $200 million in its three-day opening, which is insanity.
I fully expected it to do what it's done.
Really? Did you expect it to go that high?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, because everyone that I know has been excited about this. It's had incredibly good word of mouth, and it's been playing overseas for a week now.
Yeah. Well,
and, you know, the overseas word of mouth has been great. People have been chomping at the bit to see it.
Yeah, I still don't understand this overseas getting movies before we do thing. Why can't it just all open at the same time? I don't get that at all. So, but you know, who am I? I'm not a studio executive at all. So, what can I say? I can't, you know,
contribute. I'm just happy to have seen it.
So I saw it at a screening about a week before it opened, like a week and a day before it opened. And I know I went on Facebook and I was like, this is it. This is the most amazing, fantastic thing. And I'm actually going to see it again tonight with my wife because she hasn't seen it yet. And I'm actually super excited to see it. So I don't know what... when did you guys see it?
I saw it opening day at an afternoon matinee, and it was a pretty crowded matinee. The theater that I was supposed to see it in, I guess they had projection problems where the sound dropped out. It was fine. It ended up not affecting my viewing, but the people before us who were supposed to see it in the other screening ended up getting shuffled to our theater. So it was a really packed audience for a matinee. And just, you know, audience went nuts over it. There were people clapping and...
Really?
Yeah, I have not seen that in a long time. People actually clapping, applauding the actors, individual actors at the end. It was just crazy. And this is, and you know, I live in suburbia, you know, this is not by any means a urban studio town. I saw it, and people just loved it.
I can't wait to see it tonight with a crowd of, like, I guess what you would say was civilians, because I saw it at sort of I wouldn't say it was like an industry screening, but people who work for studios and stuff like that. And, you know, they tend to be a little more jaded than your average audience. But I know that when it was done, there were a lot of people who were just, I mean, there was clapping at the end of the movie, and people were coming out and just saying, oh, it's awesome. It's fantastic. And what about you, Ian?
Yeah, they clapped as well. I did a 10 a.m. show at El Capitan, and which is on Hollywood Boulevard. And I basically just walked right up to the ticket lady. I said, you have any tickets left for the 10 a.m.? She's like, I sure do. and it was an elderly lady, but she was really, I'd never been to El Capitan.
Oh, really?
So it was like my first experience was seeing this movie. She's like, I'm going to put you in the VIP section in the balcony in my favorite seats. And
nice.
She basically sat me center in the front row of the balcony, so there was no one in front of me.
Nice.
And it was basically, I mean, I know you told me not to see 3D, and I wasn't going to, but I had a, you know, I just had a good moment to take the 2.5 hours, and I did, and I was I was speechless when I walked out of there. I just felt so happy. And there's a guy at work who was going to see it that night, and I just looked at him and nodded, and I said, I wish I could tell you about the movie, but I just can't. And then I understood earlier why you did not tell me one word, because you just didn't want to ruin anything.
Yeah, and, yeah.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, I refused to speak of it. All I would say is that it was really good. And, you know, there were a couple of my friends on Facebook who were, because I guess I'm known as kind of a tough audience. And people were like, wow, this must be really good if he's freaking out about it. And that's the thing is that, you know, I went back and I'm like, look, okay, let's calm down. This is not Gone with the Wind. This is not Casablanca. It's not Lawrence of Arabia. But it basically does what it was supposed to do, which is take all those movies, pull them into, you know, one narrative, and have all those characters shine and have their moment in the sun, right?
Oh, absolutely. Especially the sort of tertiary characters. I mean, they really came through in this. I mean, you know, the Black Widow was almost a non-presence in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, she really walks away with a sizable role here. I think she came across very well. And, you know, Hulk.
Yeah, yeah, Hulk. Well, that's the whole thing is I agree with you. I mean, I keep wanting to call her Scarlet Witch. Maybe it's because I really want Scarlet Witch in an Avengers movie. But Black Widow, you know, they really fleshed her out in this movie. She was basically eye candy in Iron Man 2.
Right.
And they didn't give her a backstory, but they just fleshed out her character and took her in a direction which I did not think that she would go, and kind of tricked us up, you know, a couple of times with her. Like, oh, and by the way, we're spoiling the shit out of this thing. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
That's the thing, I'm going to say on the website, I'm going to spoil the shit out of this thing. But the whole Loki interrogation scene with her, I thought that he had really gotten to her.
That
and then
great.
She turns
That's
around true. And she's like, oh, yeah, you want the Hulk. That's your game, right? And I was just brilliant. Joss Whedon, brilliant, you know?
Yes. Yeah. He obviously does the strong woman character very well.
Yeah.
And this was a nice, I think even sort of a break for him, because it's not necessarily an upfront in your face strength that she has. It's a very subtle, you know, sort of manipulative spy kind of strength. And
yeah.
That was a really, really cool choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
She came out great. You know, Hawkeye.
Oh
great.
Yeah.
Having him be a villain for most of the movie, good choice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that, the whole Scarlet, what was interesting to me about Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, is that he plays into, Whedon's writing played into the very stereotype of women, sort of like being tied up in the chair and then crying after she's, you know, kind of browbeaten by Loki. And then he just flipped it at the last minute. He just whips it around. And you're just, you know, maybe it's just the male chauvinist in me. I went to that place where, oh, wow, Black Widow's crying now. He's really he's a bad man. And then she's like, no, fuck you. I figured out what you want, you ass, you jackass. And, you know, just very much. And, you know, you mentioned the Hulk.
Yes.
That's the thing. Everyone says that the Hulk really stood out. But for me, Iron Man stood out the most. Like, as a
Iron
character.
Man was great. Yeah,
he
Iron
was
Man was
great.
Great. And Captain America stood out to me.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot.
I think so, too. Yeah.
He was great. I thought Chris Evans was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And they all were. They all were. They all. It's like Joss Whedon pretty much said, took all the best traits of the characters, and let everyone have at it. And it just seemed the best of each character, and that's what we got. Yeah, Iron Man was doing some awesome, awesome stuff that I've only seen in the comics that I didn't really see in the previous Iron Man movies. You know.
Yeah.
those combats when you get into the movie, because you know that first hour is just pretty much this pretty big exposition. And I'm like, okay, you know, you give it a chance because you're like, you know, it's not going to be bad. And when the movie started really coming to life and surprising me and grabbing me was when we got to see the superhero fights.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Honestly, for me, the helicarrier sequence is one of the best sequences seen in the movies in years. Just it's a great sustained action sequence, and you know, all the groundwork's laid by the time, like, that's really where they start, you know, ratcheting up all the tension. And I would see that movie again just on the basis of that sequence.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, when I was first sitting in the theater, the first 20 minutes, half an hour, I was getting worried because I was very much from the beginning thinking, I don't know about this. Like, I wasn't buying into Loki's motivation. I just thought him showing up at this museum and then Neil and humans want to be ruled, I thought that was a little kind of cheesy. And the whole shield base exploding and they're driving away from the explosion and the floor is caving in and you've got to drive faster than the explosion. I just thought that was all very much stuff that I'd seen in other movies, and I thought it was very cheesy in other movies, and I thought, oh no, what's going to happen? And then as soon as Iron Man and Captain America confront Loki and then Thor shows up, that's it. Game was on. Like, that's when they got me.
And what's really cool is that this movie starts off where other movies usually is the big finish.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I would agree with you 100%. I mean, I will say I had the feeling first half hour that I did when I came out of Avatar, which when I came out of Avatar, you know, everyone's saying, oh, I love it. I love it so much. It's such a great movie. And I came out of Avatar and I was like, am I just an asshole? Is it just me? Am I just like this cynical? Have I just become so old and cynical that I can't look at a masterpiece and recognize it? You know what I mean? And then suddenly after Thor shows up, that was it. I was in. I was all in, and then it just got better and better. And the thing that I kept saying to a friend of mine at work, you would have these big action set pieces and you would take a breath and you're like, there's more movie coming. There's more after this.
Yes.
You know? So I don't know. I just think Whedon really astounded me, because I just kept thinking, that was huge, the stuff on the helicarrier. Oh, but wait, there's more? And there's aliens? And there's stuff going to come? And it just pounded on one on top of the other on top of the other. I mean, you know, it was just relentless. I was exhausted when I left.
Yeah. Yeah. And what was great, too, again, though, is that there were nice small moments where you could breathe just a little bit. In the middle of all of those crazy action sequences, you know, there were moments, even the sort of the comic relief moments were really well done. They weren't cheesy at all. And they advanced the character. I'm thinking specifically about the cops confronting Captain America in the middle of the alien invasion.
Yeah. That was brilliant.
Why should we listen to you? And then he proceeds to just kick like a squadron of aliens ass. And, you know, well, it's like, okay, yeah, we're going to listen to this guy.
That's the great thing, is that the dialogue was, it seemed like comic book dialogue, but it was just reformatted for the screen. So I was feeling like I was actually reading a comic. And there was one movie, actually, you know, when I saw, this might cause some trouble, but Fantastic Four 2.
Oh, God.
Fantastic Four 2, to me, I actually had a good time because I had no expectations, and I walked out of there and I felt like I had read a Fantastic Four book in a way, and I was like, oh, it was light, it was fun. This, I there was not one thing where I was disappointed. I really wasn't. And just being a Hulk fan, and you would get the comic book dialogue and then you would get the comic book action, and you'd finally get to see these just fights. I love the, I'm like, I just love when they did the superhero versus superhero stuff.
Yeah.
I just thought it was the coolest stuff, and I didn't plan on seeing that at all, because all the trailers were like, just showed them bickering, and yeah. of course, I felt like we were getting some really great stuff, and I hope it's going to change a lot of movies that superhero movies that come out for the better. I don't know if anyone will be able to do that, though, because, you know, it's pretty much the director that
they did a great, great thing. I think almost all the Marvel movies have done this by taking a more colorful, actual sort of comic booky science fiction approach to versus the DC movies, which tend to be a little more dark and gritty, or
yeah.
I'm taking them as a whole, not just Dark Knight. You know, I'm thinking like Superman Returns and things like that. Those movies just have a darker color palette. They they're definitely made for sort of grown up comic book fans.
Yeah.
Whereas this I feel comfortable recommending this movie to anyone.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the thing is, have you guys seen the new Dark Knight trailer? Did you see the latest one that came out?
Oh, man.
In front of the Avengers.
Oh, was it? Was it? Because it's very interesting, because you can see how different they are. And it's been my thing with Chris Nolan's movies. I think that they're fantastic, and I like them from what they are. But they've gotten away from the sort of super fantastic elements of the Batman universe. They've tried to plant them so much in reality that there's a bit of a dourness to them, and especially to that last trailer that came out. Yeah. What was that?
No, I agree. I'm kind of sick of his stuff. I haven't really totally enjoyed his run. I love the actors, and I love, but I'm not in the Bale's Angry Batman, I never read the Avengers. I could care less about that comic book.
Uh-huh.
But if someone came in here right now and was like, I got Avengers tickets, I'm gonna go again. I think I'm going again Tuesday. That's what I want to see. Go see a comic book movie.
Yeah, I mean,
I'll be honest with you too. That's a Whedon thing for me too. Because Cabin in the Woods is another one of those movies that I would see again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He does a very good job of thoroughly entertaining you on the first viewing, but rewarding you for multiple viewings.
Yeah, yeah. And Whedon was the perfect choice for this, because the thing that I noticed was, you know how in a lot of badly written movies you will see somebody will show up and it'll be like, I'm Captain America and this is what I'm all about, and I'm Captain America and I have my shield, and in this movie the dialogue was so well written that the other character's dialogue was defining the character that they would speak, especially when they started sniping on each other. The snipes were very clearly, you know, especially between Iron Man and Captain America, I mean, I love the line that Tony Stark has, which obviously is not why Captain America is special, but he says, you know, the only thing special about you came out of a bottle. You know what I mean? I mean, that was just, you know, and who are you, a super soldier? Just all these, like, very defining moments of dialogue, which in a very bad script would have been spoken by the characters themselves.
Right.
And in this script, he lets the other people... He lets them define each other through their interaction and the dialogue, and I just thought that was brilliant. I just loved it.
It was a cool struggle for the leadership of the group, too.
Yeah.
That's really sort of what that was all about, is that you have all of these individuals who are, you know, to call them sort of type A would be an understatement.
Sure, sure.
You know, and the group, while the group, you know, and what's great is that all of them get a chance to lead, you know? All of them really do get a chance to shine. And I think what people love about the Hulk this time is that the Hulk gets a chance to be a hero.
Yeah.
He never really had that chance in the other movies. The other movies were all about getting the monster under control. And in this one, it's all about letting him out, but letting him out for the protection of mankind.
Yeah.
You know, when he finally does,
And that he keeps Banner's sense of humor, too.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
a great touch.
Yeah, I remember us talking about this, and I was a little iffy about Ruffalo, but to me, Ruffalo...
He nailed it.
Yeah, he nailed it. And to me, he really played Banner a bit more of the Bill Bixby Banner, which yes. I'm sort of familiar
my
with.
My wife totally said that right after we saw the movie. She said that he was Bill Bixby all the way.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And the other genius thing I think about the Hulk, it's really funny because everyone says, oh, the Hulk stole the show. The Hulk stole the show. And it's very interesting to me because, I mean, the Hulk is great. Don't get me. I think it was fantastic. But did you notice how much of sort of a little horror movie technique they had with the Hulk where they kept pulling it out. They kept talking about the Hulk. They yes, kept saying yeah. the other guy. They kept, you know, hinting that he was going to come out. Is he going to come out? When's he going to come out? How's it going to happen? What's going to, you know, and they just kept dragging it out. And it was so perfect because when it happens, it was almost like perfect timing. You yes. know, when the Hulk comes out, it was like, yes, this is it. This is the Hulk. This is it. You know, and you're just freaking out because you've been waiting. They've been talking about the Hulk. They've been saying, is the Hulk coming? Is he coming? He's going to come. Hulk's coming. Oh, the Hulk's going to get you. You know, and then that's it.
And back, you know, and again, same thing back to Iron Man. One of the things that I really love about this is that it really did catch every character sort of at the end of the particular of their, you know, their individual movies, mm-hmm. and it moved them forward.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're seeing Tony Stark really sort of now at the height of his power and at the height of his, you know, career versus, you know, Iron Man 2 was a little bit of a downer for people, I think, because it was a, you know, sort of him at a low point.
Yeah, yeah.
But this captures him at a high point where he's really firing on all cylinders and, you know, like, and he's ready. You know, that's the funny thing about how, you know, that they had canceled the Avengers initiative because of Tony Stark's personality in the second movie, but by the time it's rolled around here, he's ready for it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and he's totally involved with Pepper Potts. Like, what's going on there?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're practically married or something. Like, what? Get the engagement rings ready. That was kind of shocking, too. I was hoping that we would, especially I was telling Ian before you got on, that I watched Thor last night on Blu-ray. And mm-hmm. I actually, or I was telling both of you guys that I was, watched Thor last night. And I actually, again, the same thing with Captain America. I mean, I liked them in the theater. I liked Cap a bit more. In the theater than I like Thor, but on Blu-ray, it was such a much more enjoyable experience for me. I don't know why, but I liked the movie so much more after having seen The Avengers. I don't know why. And it's not that I disliked it, but I thought Thor was very flawed, you know, the first time I saw it. But this time, I don't know, everything just kind of like fell into place. The S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff didn't bother me as much.
I mean, honestly, for me, Thor as a movie came together with a really simple bit of acting on Chris Hemsworth's part.
Yeah.
And it was the part where he made breakfast for the rest of the people.
Huh. That's interesting.
He's a god and he's cooking scrambled eggs for these people. I mean, to me, that's the moment where he really changed and like he just became so likable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And Loki's return in this, I mean, it was just, everything was just fantastic. I mean, Loki, talk about Loki. I mean, come on.
That guy's great. He, again, he kind of held it all together. Did you guys, the biggest laughter in my show was when Loki faced off with the Hulk.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone lost it and couldn't believe what had happened.
it was so unexpected and cartoony and comic booky, but so perfect.
Yeah.
It was so perfect because when you read a comic, again, with the Hulk, that's what you get. And it's kind of weird that it just never seemed in the previous Hulk movies, you never really got that. This Hulk was so active and the physics of the Hulk were so good that I could care less if he was CG this time. I just couldn't care less. I was just so happy he was kind of just bouncing around and punching things. I did not get a thunderclap And I let it go. They
gotta save something for the next movie. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They do. And but even that scene with when Ruffalo wakes up in the middle of the hangar.
Oh,
and,
brilliant! Oh,
with Barry Dean Stanton. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just classic stuff all the way through. I gotta ask a question though, because I'm not totally up on my Avengers lore. So the army that flew in. Like, who did Loki make a deal with? Is that an existing character set?
That's sort of mixing the Ultimate Universe with the classic Marvel Universe. The Chitauri...
They're sort of the ultimate stand-in for the Skrulls, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what in the Ultimates books, in the Ultimate Universe, they are sort of the stand-ins for the Skrulls. And that is definitely... in the very beginning of the movie, one of the things where I was just like, oh, really? Why? But it made a lot of sense because, to me, the Chitauri in the Avengers movie are basically cannon fodder. I mean, they're not... And the Skrulls need to be more devious. You know, the Skrulls need to be hidden. And so maybe they're a spin-off of each other. I mean, that little button scene at the end with Thanos. I mean, Thanos is a Skrull. So there's got to be Skrulls. Yeah, Thanos is a Skrull. He has, I think, deviant DNA. But isn't he a Skrull?
I don't think he's a Skrull. I actually went to Wikipedia and started reading about Thanos after the movie, and he was actually created as a copy of Darkseid, or Darkseid.
Yeah, no, but that's from the DC universe.
He's one of those like unstoppable forces. I'm just kind of thinking like, I don't know how you would stop someone like that. You're gonna need Doctor Strange, aren't you?
Well, I guess we should tell everybody. Yes, stay through the credits.
Yes, exactly.
Because there's a great scene there where that introduces Thanos with that other character. Did you realize that was Alexis Denisoff, Wesley from Angel?
Which one?
The one that you couldn't see the alien that you couldn't see.
I did not know that. But how would you realize that?
I looked through the credits.
Oh. Yeah, here it says Thanos was born on Titan, a moon of Saturn. I'm reading from Wikipedia. Mentor and Suisan. Thanos is born with the deviant gene and resembles the deviants, the Eternals' cousin race, more than his own people. But who are his own people? It doesn't say. Is he Skrull?
I think
he looks like a fucking Skrull, man.
Yeah, he does.
I think he's a Skrull. Hold on. I'm going to click on Mentor. Oh, Mentor's like this old white-haired dude.
I don't think he's a Skrull. I really don't. I don't know why, but I didn't say anything about that in his bio.
No, yeah, he's an Eternal or a Deviant, one of the Eternals. Oh man!
Deviants were part of the Eternals. Oh my goodness!
Yeah, yeah.
Where you start getting into the convoluted history of the.
Oh well, see, I was all excited because I thought Thanos was a Skrull, and I thought, oh, maybe they're gonna, you know, the Chitauri are just sort of like a fill-in, like cannon fodder for the Skrulls. But who knows? Maybe they'll introduce the Skrulls at some point. Because I gotta say, I love me some Skrulls. I love the Skrulls. I have action figure Skrulls on my desk at work. Someone gave them to me at work, and I was just so excited. People at work were laughing at me. I was like, they have Skrull action figures. I mean, it's just so much fun. But yeah, okay, so Thanos? Really? Like, they're going to go...
That's a big jump.
Is it going to be like Star Trek now? Are they going into space? Like, what are they going to do?
I don't know, but I'm excited to see what happens next.
I mean, that's just crazy. I think that's insanity for them to try that. Are they going to do the Infinity Gauntlet? Are they going to do... I don't know. And then how do they weave that into the next three movies? Or the next, you know.
The other thing that we need to keep in mind is we don't know exactly how many other movies and of what heroes they'll have in between this and the next Avengers movie.
Well, Iron Man 3 is confirmed, and so is Captain America 2.
Sure.
Captain America 2 is supposed to be 2015 or something like that.
And Hulk is supposed to be 2015 also.
Oh, are they actually going to do a Hulk? Because I heard that they weren't going to do a Hulk.
No, they signed Ruffalo for 6 movies.
Oh, my God. Sign your life away, Ruffalo.
I read that, too, that they signed him. Because they were getting really good. I read that they got really good fan reaction about him. But, I mean, he knocked it out of the park. I mean, I'd love to see another Hulk movie with him.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. But where do you go from this? Because now he's hanging out with Tony Stark at the end of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Planet Hulk, man. Planet Hulk.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but that's a huge...
I'm being ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm still scrolling, looking to see if Thanos is a Skrull. I'm obsessed now. Is Thanos part Skrull? If not, what is he? The answer to the first portion, no. At least not according to Marvel canon. Oh, man, he's not a Skrull. He looks like a purple Skrull to me. How did that happen?
They made him probably look like a Skrull. Was it maybe the Skrulls were already invented and they didn't want to completely make him look like Darkseid, so they made him look more like a Skrull? I don't know.
Wait a minute. Darkseid was a
new god.
Kirby creation. Was Thanos a Jack Kirby creation?
No. He's
different
Jim Starlin.
There's definitely something in that Wikipedia article that where the creator, someone had told the creator, look, if you're going to really rip off Darkseid, you might as well.
No, he was going to rip off, I'm looking at the same exact article, and apparently Thanos wasn't that big and bulky originally, and it seemed like, according to, he was a much thinner character, and they wanted to beef him up, but... who was it? I think they want to say they said somewhere in this article. I'm just skimming over it because I read it after I'd seen the movie that he was more reminiscent of Metron from the New Gods, which is an interesting concept. But Metron. It says if you look like anybody, it was Metron. Hmm. I had all these different gods and things I wanted to do, which became Thanos and the Titans. Roy Thomas.
Thomas?
Talking to Jim Starlin, took one look at the guy in the Metron-like chair and said, beef him up! If you're going to steal one of the new gods, at least rip off Darkseid, the really good one! Exclamation point. So, yeah, I guess he's not a Skrull. I could have sworn he was a Skrull, but what am I going to... That sucks, because I want Skrulls. But anyway, the movie is fantastic. I mean, what else can we talk about? Coulson. I mean, come on, we're spoiling it, right?
Broke my heart.
I know.
Well, and you know what? The character who we have not talked about at all, Nick Fury.
Yeah, he actually got his digs in too.
He was toned down. I think they did a good job toning him down. He did not seem as stupid as he was in I did not really like him in previous movies at all.
Well, he hasn't been in a lot of them, has he? Yeah. I mean,
well, he's just been you know, at the end of the movies, you know, we've only seen him in, you know, 5 minutes here and, you know, a minute or two there, and this is his first chance to really, you know, be a character in his own movie. What I wasn't really prepared for, and what I really dug the hell out of, was just how beaten down and sad he was. I mean, you know, as excited as we are about, you know, seeing the Avengers all together, you know, for him, that's a loss.
Yeah.
Having Avengers come together means that he failed at his job. You know, he wasn't enough to protect the Earth. And that you really do see that job weigh heavy on his head. And
yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, and you don't see Sam Jackson. I think maybe Ian is thinking more of Samuel L. Jackson in general than maybe him as Nick Fury. I'm not sure. Because
maybe,
you didn't,
I don't know.
You didn't, see, like... you didn't see Nick Fury be like, get the motherfucking helicarrier in the motherfucking air, motherfucker! Like, you didn't see him totally do his Sam Jackson. He was very subdued now that you mentioned it.
He was.
Yeah.
He was good.
You got the impression, you know, he's like a badass that's just sort of past their prime.
Yeah.
And he's a human. He's getting older. He just can't, you know, he can't protect the world from gods.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
What he can do is manipulate the situation enough to you know, put his plan into effect. And he did that brilliantly.
Yeah. What I loved is, you know, you could read it. And Sam Jackson, not to disparage him, I mean, he's done some great work. But there is a little bit of, there's a lot of people who, including me, sometimes he overdoes it in movies. But he did a really good job with... whenever he had to talk on the screen to those faceless...
Powers Booth, baby. Yes.
Yeah, Powers Booth. That was great. Powers Booth. I was like, that's Powers Booth!
The secret force that ran the world.
You know? Yeah, yeah. But I just... The feeling that you got, he just did such a good job of telegraphing that, now I gotta deal with these assholes sort of thing. You know, the sort of shitty boss. I've gotta convince these guys that I need these guys to save the world. It's just great, great stuff. And I wish somebody had just called it the Cosmic Cube at one point. You know, they kept calling it the Tesseract, and I wish somebody had just been like, this Cosmic Cube thing or something. Did you guys catch, you know, the waitress, the Captain America, whose life he saved?
Yeah, what was the deal with that?
Did you, because they seem to maybe point at that a little bit, and I was thinking
she'll show up in the next movie?
Well, I'm thinking, is it Bernie?
Oh, I didn't catch her name.
No,
I didn't
me neither.
Name tag on anything. That would be really cool.
I'm going to be watching for it. But I guess that girl, they had a story on Yahoo, and I recognized her immediately. I mean, I think she's done other Joss Whedon stuff. He had a guy from Dollhouse, too, as one of the cops in the cast. So you know that Whedon's doing his Spike Lee thing where he's keeping, you know, or his Scorsese thing where he's keeping all his actors close. But
anytime we get to see Alexis Denisoff work, I'm happy.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. We got Corey. Hold on a second. Corey's here.
Hello.
Hey, Corey.
Corey! We have to do a Norm Corey thing. Corey! All right. So, Corey, we've been talking about the Avengers. You're finally in with us. Yes. I didn't know that you were waiting. I apologize. But what did you think? Give us your impressions.
Okay. I hated it. No, it's great. It's a lot of fun. It's a kick to see. I saw it again for the second time. I went to the premiere and then I saw it last night again. And one of the things that stuck out to me when seeing it again is how frequently they frame the picture to look like familiar comic book panels.
Huh.
You know, and I don't know if they actually picked out specific things, but just, you know, just things that I feel like I've seen, you know, like just poses or, you know, like when Captain America's kind of ordering everybody around at one point and then, Thor sort of swings his hammer and behind Black Widow, you know, Black Widow's kind of in the foreground and behind her is Thor and he spins his hammer and flies off. And her hair kind of blows from the wind, and just a lot of composition stuff. We're just like, yeah, that feels like the comic, you know. So I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, that would be interesting. If Whedon such a genius that he went through? I mean, obviously the thing had to be storyboarded to death. I mean,
right.
The fact that he would set up panels or shots
of course, because he cares. He cares about the fans because he's a fan, and that's what made the movie so awesome. You know,
and you know he is a comic book guy too. You know, he spent the last couple of years doing comic books, and you know whether you love them or hate them or indifferent to them or whatever, you know he has spent time in that world and he's picked up the vocabulary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we were just talking about Sam Jackson and how much we just thought that he did a great... Paul made a really good point that he was... Or Paul and Ian, that he was very subdued in this movie. He wasn't your typical, get these motherfucking snakes off this motherfucking plane! You know, like...
Right, true.
Yeah.
I wasn't totally, I don't know, I felt a little ambivalent toward him. I felt like he kind of was, the second time through, I felt better about his performance. But after the first time, I felt like, huh, how invested was he into this? He just kind of felt like he was just walking through it. But seeing it a second time, I saw more of him, you know, really caring, you know, feeling like he's, okay, yeah, he's putting some effort into this. So I wouldn't say he stole the show, but for me, Mark Ruffalo, I think, really was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. We were saying that he kind of captured the Bill Bixby banner, you know, very much sort of as opposed to the comic book banner. But mm-hmm. that's, you know, whatever, that's splitting hairs. I mean, he did a great job. He did a great job.
I just loved the... He added a lot of subtlety and a lot of internalized frustration and awkwardness and social anxiety to the character that I think, similar to how Robert Downey Jr. kind of redefined Tony Stark in the comics, I kind of feel like maybe will happen for Hulk as well.
Wow, that's interesting.
I have a question, too. This is the first time we've ever had the same actor play Banner and the Hulk. Do you think that made a difference?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. It's better than Ang Lee jumping around in his pajamas on a green screen set.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think... I don't know the...
picture Ang Lee doing that.
Ang Lee jumping around.
I think that's what he did. Ang Lee, what, you guys saw that, right? In the first one, they digitized Ang Lee for a lot of that.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that wasn't really a joke.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. So were they doing motion capture on Ang Lee?
Yeah, Ang Lee was doing a lot of the Hulk movements, and then they used... I know in the second one, I think they used Jennifer Garner's face for the Hulk.
Jennifer Garner? What? You can't be serious.
Oh, no, I'm not Jennifer Garner. Connelly. They used parts of Connelly's face. Wait a minute.
Are you high?
No, listen, I'm not. Who was the girl in the Ang Lee Hulk?
That was Jennifer Connelly. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
Connelly.
They used parts of her face for the Hulk. I swear, I shit you not.
Where did you see this?
No.
I did a lot of reading about that movie because I was trying to figure out how Ang Lee was, you know, still alive after making that thing. But anyway.
Were there assassination
minority
attempts
here? But I actually didn't mind Ang Lee's the Hulk.
Oh, Paul, no, I'm with you. Well, you know what? I'm sorry because I should have done. Ian mentioned that he liked Fantastic Four too, Corey, earlier in the podcast, and I didn't give him
this is where everybody like puts their dark secrets out on the table.
Look, Howard the Duck was brilliant. All right,
I loved Howard the Duck when it came out. I'm going to I'll cop to that. I liked it when it came out. I had a Leah Thompson crush. I'm sorry, it was a thing.
Look, there were naked duck boobies. What could go wrong?
God. Oh no, I did when I was a kid, and I recently watched it on DVD, and I was like, not that bad. I mean, it wasn't all. I mean, come on. I've seen worse.
Well, it wasn't Steel.
Oh, God. I actually auditioned for Steel.
I'm dying to see Steel.
Remind me to tell you my Steel audition story one day. Oof.
Wow.
Oh, it's horrible, horrible, horrible. I did not audition for Steel. I mean, I was for a part in the movie.
If only.
If only. Oh, my God. But the way Hollywood casting goes these days. Anyway. But so, all right, well, what were some of the favorite parts? Because, I mean, we've been talking in general, but...
Yeah, we have.
I mean,
I'm just going to stick to the whole helicarrier sequence that, I mean...
Like when it lifts into the sky.
Yeah, from the moment it lifts into the sky until the Hulk's / Loki's escape.
Yeah.
That period of the movie for me was fantastic.
Yeah. And how about you, Ian? What did you think was one of the best?
I think once Iron Man was fighting Thor, that was just bad ass.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Captain America jumped in, and I wasn't expecting it. And as soon as they showed me that one, I'm like, ooh, maybe all the other heroes are going to fight each other first. And we'll get on. And then it's like, you know, the movie just kept delivering and kept building up. All the Hulk stuff. You know, I'm a huge Hulk fan. Ruffalo was awesome. Yes, the helicarrier scene. Honestly, there's too much to name, but those moments definitely I really got a kick out of.
Yeah. How about you, Corey? Any particular?
I would say from the city on was when, it's really... It was a lot just fun and great energy, great momentum. I just felt like a comic book. Just felt like I was reading, you know, a big, big Avengers storyline.
Yeah.
And, just a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. I have one sort of... Well, I love just at the end sort of seeing the Hulk just rip into shit. Like, whenever he was on, like, I don't know exactly, like, maybe he was on a jet plane or he was on some alien, and you would just see him, like, just pulling it, like, just ripping it apart, like, with his hands and just, like, throwing things off. Like, that was fantastic. But there's one very specific moment that just the fanboy in me just freaked out. Was just like, eh! And it's when the Hulk and Thor are fighting on the helicarrier, and the Hulk is down, and he goes to pick up the hammer, and he can't pick up the hammer, and he's trying so hard that he actually pushes himself into the ground.
The look on his face, where he's just so puzzled about doing it. It's like seeing a dog's face when you like pretend to throw a ball, but you don't throw it.
Yeah. I was so like that. To me, was just like, this is it. I don't need to see anything else. You know, I was just that made me so happy.
I like too in that whole fight where Thor, he tries to sort of reason with him and look, we're friends, and then at one point he just kind of smiles and he's like, okay, let's fight.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting thing. I mean, I was saying before that I watched Thor on Blu-ray last night, and I think that I spotted, did any of you guys see this? The Eye of
Eye of Agamotto in the crypt Odin's crypt.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. In the very beginning, I think, or no, when Loki's, it's one scene in there, and I was like, is that the Eye of Agamotto? I was just, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I missed it in the theater when I saw it.
By the way, back to that smackdown between Iron Man and Thor.
Thor. Oh yeah.
I love the fact that Loki just, you know, he could have gotten away, but he just kind of sat down and watched it.
Yeah. It really did pay off. I mean, I don't know where they're going to go from here, but I have to say that I loved it, and I'm just so glad that they didn't run away from the superheroics of it, you know? It's great. It's a fantastic, fun movie.
It's an optimistic movie, too.
Yeah. It really is, you know? It's really funny because in my screening, did any of you guys get this at the end when they were showing a lot of the news coverage, and you got a couple of snippets of like, this is their fault, they know something about it, they have to, you know, but you know, the Marvel universe, it must be their fault, it's a hoax, they it's all their fault, and there are a bunch of moans in the audience like, oh god, like really, like, it's classic stuff. So any other thoughts? I mean, any Corey, I mean, we missed out on you, so like any big other things that stuck out to you?
Well, the beginning I was less thrilled about.
Yeah,
bad, but it was a little bit like, okay, can we just get everybody together and have fun?
Yeah,
and I just think there was a little miscellaneous, like the council stuff. Like, I don't know, do we need that much time on that?
Yeah,
and I mean, plot wise, when you think about it, really the only function, plot wise, for this movie of the council was to launch a nuclear missile so that Iron Man could prove that he is a hero because he is willing to sacrifice himself when Captain America earlier says that he wouldn't do that.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a few things like that where they're just, you know, there are these big sort of time-consuming elements that are just set up to kind of pay off a character plot point. And just, do we need to have so many, you know, so much time devoted to these little plot points that...
Sure.
Probably didn't serve the full story as much.
I agree in a way, but at the point I guess I was at the end of the movie when Iron Man's like, I realized, you know, Iron Man's going to save the day here. All I said in my head was, oh, goody. And I was just so psyched that we were going to be able to nuke a bunch of aliens through like some freaking rip in the portal. I was just like, okay, go do it.
Yeah, that I mean, that happening was great. I think just the setup of all the council stuff could have been way cut down.
Yeah,
or just find a different way to shoot a nuke in New York. I mean, there's ways you can do that.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I thought I read a rumor online that there was like a 3-hour cut. Which I would love to see, because I mean, I'm all for more Avengers. I mean, if he can pull a Peter Jackson and, you know, come out with a giant director's cut, I would love to see that. I'm all for it. I would buy that.
Do you guys think they have footage of actually Ruffalo falling through that big airplane carrier? Because it did seem like that was pretty much cut into. Like, do you think there's actually that footage of him changing back?
Maybe. Who knows?
I'd love to see that. That's stuff I missed. Because, you know, when he first changed, they did draw it out to the point where he was changing. But when he changed, he changed pretty quick.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And the like, last thing we saw before he changed was, like, his eyes, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked how they didn't really draw it out too much as far as, look, his human hand is turning into a Hulk hand.
Yeah.
That was a great look when that sort of last look back at the Black Widow, and you can just see Banner sort of, you know, vanishing. That was really nice.
Yeah, and like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. What a great line, and he sold it.
Yeah, which line?
The secret. The secret to...
The secret to... Well, it's very interesting because there have been so many people online complaining about, like, well, how come he can't control it in the beginning of the movie and he can't... But if anybody watched the last Incredible Hulk movie, the very last scene is insinuating that he's getting control over it. Yes. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember where he's, like, getting into meditation and stuff like that. And the very last scene, it seems like he's willing himself to change.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's with any sort of emotional issue, you can, with effort, you can control yourself. But then there's times where it's gone. It's over. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. And Ruffalo did a great job. So, I mean, they all did fantastically. And I just hope the follow-up movies, you know, because Marvel does tend to have a little bit of a history. Like, they were kind of messing with What's-his-face, Iron Man 1 and 2, the director, blanking.
Oh, yeah.
John Favreau.
Yeah, John Favreau, where John Favreau didn't want to come back for the third one. And then, you know, where they messed around with the actor that played Rhodey in the first one. I just hope that they just keep it going. And now that this thing's made $200 million, there's a lot of rumors that Feige may be promoted to head of the actual Disney studios. So I don't know.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it'll be interesting once they start getting into sort of their second tier character movies, if they can handle them with the quality that they've handled their top tier.
Sure.
Because so far that's sort of been their Achilles heel. Because, yeah. I mean, for every Iron Man, there's a Ghost Rider.
Oh, no.
Well, no. To be fair, that's a different studio, right?
That's true. Well, what I'm wondering is
Sony's crap.
Yeah, that's Sony. But what I'm very curious to see is if Disney, you know, because there's a lot of studios, they're co-producing things now, you know,
right? Like,
and because these things cost so much money, I would love to see. It'd just be great if, say, Disney went to, you know, Fox and said, "Hey, let's do a Fantastic Four movie together, and we can have a deal where, you know, maybe the Thing kind of guest stars in the next Avengers." You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be amazing.
That would be cool.
So, okay, well, let's wrap this up with what second string, you know, Marvel movie we would like to see. You know, what next one we would like to see? Not the ones that we've heard rumors, but if there was one coming and you could produce it and put it into motion, which one would it be? Let's start off with Corey, since he came last. Which one would it be, Corey?
I would say the Power Pack.
Really? Good choice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you basically sort of follow the formula of Spy Kids and those sort of movies, and just, it's just it would be a fun movie for kids. And, you know, you take the Pixar lead of making it accessible for adults, and just four kids, four child superheroes. Why not? You know, there was The Incredibles could do it. Why not?
I would love to see a Power Pack movie. I would love to take my daughter to a Power Pack movie. Exactly. What was that?
That was one of my favorite comics. I would love to see I'd love to see that in motion.
Yeah, know? I would love to see a faithful adaptation of that. It would just be fantastic. And with the horse aliens and the lizard aliens.
Sure.
Oh, man.
Just take those first four or five issues, and there you go.
Man. Make it so. All right, Ian, what about you?
Oh, Ian, what do you think?
Yeah, I actually have two. One would be Luke Cage and Iron Fist.
Ah, you stole mine. Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yes, and then if they could do it, I'd love if they did a really cool Doctor Strange.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I think that it's just, you know, when they look at the sales and distribution, he might be further down in the list.
Yeah.
He is, but I mean, think about it. House as a superhero.
That's true. Not bad.
Yeah, well, you look at Witch Doctor, that Image Comics series, Witch Doctor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Witch Doctor.
So,
yeah,
Christian, other than the fact that he's stolen yours, what would you love to see?
Well, now I can't think of one because he took my big one. The only other thing I could think of is like maybe Alpha Flight or something like that. And that's,
that would be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, but that's like a typical superhero. I mean, the thing that I like about Alpha Flight is they sort of never were really a team. Like the series very much started off with them being disbanded, you know?
Right.
And they had to sort of work hard at being a team because they were all spread around Canada and they would have many events. If anything, I would love to see Alpha Flight like as a TV show. That would be great. So,
but see, the ones I would love to see are ones that have already been done, but I'd like to see them done well.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Daredevil.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd love to see Ghost Rider done as a 1970s exploitation film.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, that would be absolutely fantastic. Oh man,
speaking of period sort of superhero movies, I'm gonna sort of steal Miguel Sima's idea. Miguel Sima is the director of Dig Comics, and he's probably gonna hate me for saying this, but he probably won't have listened. Fantastic Four set in the '60s, very similar to how the X-Men movies were.
Oh yeah.
I get that. Well, the original director for Fantastic Four was the guy who did. Down with Love?
Yeah.
Which was a fantastic takeoff of like the Rock Hudson Doris Day movies, and that initially that's what popped in my head was a period Fantastic Four piece that would have been so cool. Yeah.
You know what I would do? I'll tell you what I would do if we're talking about remaking the bad ones. Howard the Duck. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck would be a great like political satire because that's what it was. It was satire. Yeah. It would be fantastic. And you get Dr. Bong in there. That would be awesome. Dr. Bong. All right. I guess with that, we'll sign off. I guess we love the Avengers.
Yeah, guys. Yeah. I actually got to go. I'm going to go see it right now.
Oh, I'm going to see it tonight. So awesome, guys. And Corey, I'm sorry that we didn't get you in until the last half.
That's okay.
All right, so this is Part-Time Fanboy, and we are Avengers lovers. Avengers Assemble!
Part-Time Fanboy. Fanboy.com.